All right. So Tal will share for 15 minutes and let us know where you are in the big book and what you're sharing on. Thank you. Go ahead, Tal.
Great. Thanks, Judith. So I'm Tal. I'm an Al-Anonic. I'm a stress addict and an adrenaline addict and a self-will addict. So in thinking about today, I realize that the further back I go into my life, the more I understand about the way I am now. And I'd like to talk a little bit about my step zero experience before recovery. In my salad days, I was a tech writer. And that means I would take engineering writing and translate it into words that the rest of us could understand. Sometimes that was difficult. I would interview engineers and I would take what they had written. And at that time, it was a good job. I could go anywhere in the country and get a job. Tech writers were in demand. I wasn't really happy doing that, however. And when I was in a job in New England, I took a job with an ad agency. And it didn't take me long to realize I loved that trade. The writing was original. I wasn't transferring someone else's ideas. It was a creative process and it just lit my fire. I just loved it. So shortly after that experience, I decided to start a company. And I rented a one bedroom apartment and my wife joined me there. And we had one other fellow that kind of helped us out. And we struggled. We struggled for 2 years, we struggled for 3 years, and finally we got a job that had some attention given to it. So we started to get good press and we started to get calls. And that little one bedroom apartment business, in about 5 years totally, we were in five US cities. And I was the director. there was nothing in my life except my self-will at that time. I had a family I loved. We loved each other. I loved my wife, the kids. Everything was going well. But because of the business, I was never home. I was home maybe 20% of the time. Meanwhile, I was flying in airplanes all over the country, going to meetings, going to studios, creating things for people that hired me to do so. And I was home probably 20% of the time. So it was a wonderful thing. I loved it. I mean, I never seemed like I never had time to think about myself. I just thought about the business. I was a good provider. So I told myself I was doing my family the best thing I could do for them, providing for them. So it took me over, I will say it took me over. And as I went through those 20 years, I began to take chances. I began to, I loved it when I would do something dangerous, not literally dangerous, but something that would be dangerous to me if I was found out. And if I got away with it, I loved it. The closer I got to disaster, the more adrenaline was created within me. And I quit that business. I sold that business 20 years later. And I came home. And I found my wife was an alcoholic. I had no clue. I came home, she's an alcoholic. So the self-will in me said, oh, no problem. We'll just do an intervention. We'll give her a 30-day rehab and we won't have to deal with this again. So you all know what happens when that happens. It did not work. So in step zero, for the first time in my life, I was powerless. All those years behind me had nothing to do with what I had to do now. I was powerless over alcohol. and my life had definitely become unmanageable. So the first thing I did, I went to AA meetings. And I opened AA meetings and I said, how can I fix my wife? And they said, you can't fix your wife. She has to fix herself. And I said, well, how did you guys do it? I mean, these people were surgeons, doctors, heads of trauma surgery, judges, lawyers, a district attorney even. I said, look at you, how did you do it? And they said, well, we just did it. And so does your wife. So then I went to Al-Anon and I asked them the same question. How do I fix my wife? And they said, you can't fix your wife. You have to fix yourself. You have to let go of your wife. Well, that was the last thing I wanted to do because I have been in love with my wife since the day we met. And it's still that way today. I did not want to lose her. So I did what Al-Anon told me to do. I took care of myself. I worked the steps, the Al-Anon way. I 18 years I have an Al-Anon. I've done just about everything there is to do there. I sponsored maybe 20 guys over those 18 years. I'm a GR now for my home group has 120 members. We have large meetings. I'm the GR. My panel is up the end of this year. I'm a literature coordinator for the Forum magazine, which is the monthly magazine of Al-Anon. I do as much service as I can, and all my friends are Al-Anons and alcoholics. All my friends today, the long way from where I was when I started out. So my wife did not get better. She got worse and worse. And as much as I tried, I finally realized that I was powerless. And living with an alcoholic is too much for most of us, right? So I moved out. And I moved from Pennsylvania, where we were at the time, to Colorado, where I had children. They were out here. I couldn't stand it. I would call back. I was so codependent. I just couldn't believe that I was codependent until I was. And then I understood about codependency. And she was the same way. Her sponsor said, stop talking about Tal. He is out of your picture now. Work on yourself. And that's what I had to do, was work on myself. So I worked on myself. And I worked on myself to the point where I thought I was healed, but I wasn't healed. And I wasn't healed because there's one thing I didn't do. I didn't do step two. I didn't do step three. I never came to believe in a power greater than myself. You know, all those years, and I would talk the talk, but I never walked the walk. And I never did step three, turn my will and my life over to the power of God as I understood God. I never did that either. And after 18 years, meanwhile, my wife did get sober, by no means with anything that I did for her. But we had a grandchild. When she was told she had a grandchild, January 16th, 2007, was the day she stopped drinking. So I had nothing to do with that, but I was so grateful that she was back amongst us. Meanwhile, about me, I'm not getting God. I've been an agnostic all my life. It's not that I did not believe in God. It's I didn't care about God. So I didn't think about God. I just went on with my own life. And I still had that self-will run riot malady about myself, even in all my years in Al-Anon. So after those 18 years, I felt like something was missing. And I've run into people that go to Al-Anon and have years in Al-Anon and they disappear. They don't come to meetings anymore. and I might run into them in a restaurant or something. And I said, what happened to you? You're not in the meetings anymore. And they said, well, they just don't do anything for me anymore. So I'm just doing something else, whatever that was. So my awakening came when a person from BBA came to talk to my home group. And she was Al-Anon. It was Billy Kay, for those of you who know the name. And she... I'm an emotional guy, so bear with me. When Billy Kay talked about Big Book Awakening, and Billy Kay told me I was addicted to stress, and I was addicted to adrenaline. Billy Kay told me things I had never heard before. And at the end of her talk, the last four words she said was BBA Works. And I went to BBA Works the next day. And I joined a noon meeting. And I was smitten by this program. People were happy. They were energetic. They were hardworking. They were loving. I hadn't seen a meeting with that much love in all my Al-Anon days. So what the difference was for me was Al-Anon does not allow the big book in their conference approved literature. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's exactly what I needed. I needed to be told what to do. I needed to be directed through the 12 steps. I needed to work my ass off in the 12 steps. They never worked that hard in Al-Anon. And I look now back at all the people I sponsored, and I sponsored them with Blueprint for Progress and a couple of other pieces of literature that talk about all the steps. But I wasn't that thorough. I will admit that now, because I never had come to believe that a power greater than myself could help me learn and be a better person and give things away that I had grown to love. I was a worker. So BBA was perfect for me. I mean, all those weeks in step one, right? I loved it. I loved work. I loved learning a little bit more each time, each page. And I went through the entire process, all 12 steps. Every step of the way, I learned things I never knew before. I learned about my higher power. I learned how to turn my life over to a higher power, which I had never had considered before that. And I learned, most of all, the joy that that gave me and a new power that it gave me to see things I never noticed.
2 minutes now.
Okay. So the end of the story basically is I'm God-driven now. And I could never have been that before. My self-will is replaced with God. And I am so grateful for it, because the more time I spend with God, the lighter I begin to feel, the smarter I think I get about what life really means and what it's really about. It's not about self-will. It's not about business. It's about our souls. And it's about what we do with our life as we learn about it and as we grow because of it. So the Fleetwood Mac song, so, you know, I'm getting older now. I think the song is Avalanche. I don't see Andy here. He's the other musician. So I am just grateful to be able to spread this word, because I am truly a convert. And I'd like to end with reading some of my transcription, if I have time to do that, Judith. So step two, I must see my insanity in step one before I can go along with the idea of needing to be restored to sanity in step two. I use this section as a tool to consider not God, but me on my own power. To help me come to believe, help me go through this chapter, underlining where I see no reliance on God. Underline anything that helps me see my unwillingness to believe in God. Underline anything that keeps me from choosing God as being everything or nothing. Am I an atheist or agnostic? There's more than one requirement to stay sober. I need to believe in God as well as to be a participant in my own recovery process. This is the step two choice. It's probably the last. Okay, thank you.
Go ahead and finish. Just finish what you were saying, Tal. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, thank you. This is the step two choice. It's probably the last choice you'll make. After the third step, it's not about choice. What if God is nothing? What if God is everything? Consider this. Do I believe I can find a great reality in myself if I search fearlessly? Do I believe that God reveals himself to me as I reveal myself to me? If I can lay aside my prejudice about God, atheist or agnostic, if I can think honestly, if I am encouraged to search diligently within myself, I can find God. And I did find God. And I'll be forever grateful. Thanks for having me today. I'm Tal.
Thank you, Tal. Thank you so much. Go ahead and stop the recording.